Welcome to NoSpinHomilies.com. I invite you to join me to reflect upon the homilies of Father Dan. Father Dan will challenge us to open our heart, mind, and soul to the Word of God. Father Dan will draw upon sacred scripture, along with art, literature, and the lives of the saints, to help us grow in our love and knowledge of the scripture. In doing so, we can become the living Word of God in this world. Now it is my pleasure to present to you No Spin Homilies.
Today our church around the world celebrates the Feast of the Triumph of the Cross. In order for us to truly understand and appreciate this feast, I think it would be helpful to understand the history behind it. Early in the 4th century, St. Helena, the mother of the Roman Emperor Constantine, went to Jerusalem in search of the holy places of Christ's life. It was there that she built the Basilica of the Holy Sepulchre over Jesus' tomb. During the excavation, workers found three crosses. Legend has it, the cross in which Jesus died upon was identified when its touch healed a dying woman. Now, the Feast of the Triumph of the Cross actually was recognized and put on our church calendar in the 7th century after Emperor Heraclius recovered the cross from the Persians in 614. Legend has it that Emperor Heraclius carried the cross back to Jerusalem on his shoulders. He was clothed with costly garments with ornaments of precious stones, but at the entrance to Mount Calvary, a strange incident occurred. Try as hard as he could not go forward. Zacharias, the bishop of Jerusalem, then said to the astonished monarch, "Consider, O emperor, that with these triumphal ornaments you are far from resembling Jesus carrying his cross." The emperor then put on a penitential garb and stripped himself of his shoes. After he had done this, he was then able to continue on in the journey. So now we know how this Feast of the Triumph of the Cross came about in history. Yet, imagine it. If you are a person living in the ancient Roman world, this would be a very bizarre feast to celebrate. Why? Because in the ancient Roman world, the cross was an instrument of pain, torture, humiliation, as well as death. People who died on the cross did not die from a loss of blood. People on the cross, yes, were nailed to it, but in most cases, they were actually tied to the cross, and they died from asphyxiation. They literally suffocated to death under the weight of their own body. Now, death on a cross was very, very painful and very, very slow. In fact, in most cases, a person would take at least one day, if not 2 to 3 days, to die on a cross. Yet, recall in the Passion narrative, when Jesus dies on the cross, the soldiers go and they immediately report that to Pilate. And yet, Pilate is surprised and astonished that Jesus died so fast on the cross in a matter of just 3 hours. Now, the Romans used crucifixion throughout the entire empire. Furthermore, the Romans would always crucify their criminals right outside the entrance gates to a Roman city, town, or village. Why? Because the Romans wanted to send a very clear an unambiguous message to all who were entering this Roman city. This is what will happen to you if you violate Roman law. So therefore, crucifixion was an effective deterrent to crime. Now, the early Christians had a very difficult time with the cross. The cross had severe repercussions for our early church. Remember, the very first few centuries after Jesus' death and resurrection, the cross was never depicted on any paintings, murals, or artwork. The cross was never even talked about because it was still fresh in the people's minds. They still recoiled from the terrifying image of seeing Jesus Christ dying on the cross. Also, remember, the first 3 centuries of our early church was marred with the persecutions. Many martyrs died on crosses. Take, for example, St. Peter. And so, the cross in the very first centuries of our early church was something no one wanted to think of, let alone talk about or see. Yet, later on, through prayer and study of sacred scripture, as well as the writings of the early church fathers, our church came to grips with the cross. And so it begs the question, why? Why do we celebrate this feast of the triumph of the cross? And how does God take an instrument of torture, pain, and death and reverse it, and now turn it into one of the central symbols of our faith? Well, I think the answer can be found in the second reading from Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 2, verses 6 through 11. Now, my friends, this is one of the most beautiful and eloquent passages of all of Paul's epistles. I strongly encourage you, please, take this passage to prayer this week. Paul writes in the beginning, "Jesus Christ, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God something to be grasped at." Now, where have we heard that before? People in sacred scripture grasping at God, wanting to be like God. Well, in Genesis, with Adam and Eve. Remember back, Adam and Eve are seduced by the devil. The devil says to Adam and Eve, look at that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God does not want you to eat from that fruit. Why? Because if you do, you will be just like God. Therefore, God doesn't want you to be like that. He wants to keep you down. Well, Adam and Eve listen to that and they believe the devil. They become seduced by him, and therefore they see God now as a rival. They are jealous and envious of God. And so they go to the tree and they reach out and they try and grasp the fruit. My friends, it is in that act of grasping at that fruit that original sin is now ushered into the world. Well, now Jesus is going to reverse that. As Paul says, "Christ Jesus, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God something to be grasped." Now, Jesus doesn't grasp at God. He doesn't see the Father or the Holy Spirit as rivals to him. He's not envious or jealous of them. Instead, Jesus sees the Father and the Holy Spirit as equal with him in love, in power, and in majesty. And it is out of love that Jesus, the Son of God, accepts the mission from the Father to enter into this world, knowing fully well where it would end up on the cross. And it is Jesus Christ who will bring God's love into the world, especially to those who feel furthest from it. See, that's why Jesus says to the Pharisees, "You know, I did not come for the righteous, I came for the sinners. Those who are well don't need a physician, but the sick do." Consequently, as Jesus now enters into this world, he enters in order to reverse everything that was wrong in the world. Even going back to the very beginning with Adam and Eve, now Jesus is going to reverse everything so as to make it the way it should have been, the way God intended it to be. Paul continues on in his passage. He says, "Jesus humbled himself, becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." On the cross, Jesus battles the last and final and the greatest enemy in this world, death itself. C.S. Lewis once said, "When Jesus climbed upon the cross, he entered into close quarters combat with death. Yet, in that very act of mounting the cross, Jesus now reverses the power of the cross. The cross was an instrument of death, destruction, pain, and torture. Yet, take it to a deeper level. The cross represents a world that was governed by the principles of fear, oppression, violence, hatred, sin, and death. But through Jesus' death and resurrection, now the cross is reversed and becomes an instrument of redemption because of Christ. Better yet, the cross now represents a new world order, a new world that is governed by the principles of relationship with Christ and embodying the teachings of Christ in our life. The cross, which was once feared and hated, now becomes a symbol of God's self-sacrificing love for us all. Furthermore, it becomes a symbol of liberation, our liberation from sin and death. See, now we begin to understand and appreciate why this is such an important feast, for what Christ did for us all. Yet, this is also a feast for us. We too participate in this feast. Each and every time we sign ourselves with the cross, each and every time we see the crucifix, we are reminded of our redemption through Jesus Christ's death and resurrection. Even from the very beginning of our life with Christ, the cross becomes a powerful symbol in our life. In the sacrament of baptism is when our life, our union with Jesus Christ, as well as the Father and the Holy Spirit, began. Now, if you look carefully at that baptismal rite, at the very beginning of the rite itself, the priest says to the infant, "I claim you for Jesus Christ, and now I trace the cross of Christ on your forehead and ask your parents and your godparents to do the same." From that beginning of our relationship with Christ at baptism, the cross of Christ becomes the central symbol of our faith life. Yet, throughout our entire life, it continues to be. We are continually reminded of that self-sacrificing love of Jesus Christ on the cross. For example, at Mass, what is the very first thing that we do at Mass? We sign ourselves. We say, "In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit." Every time we begin a prayer, we sign ourselves with the cross, the symbol of our liberation from sin and death. What happens at the very end of Mass? It is the priest that blesses the people, and he blesses them through the sign of the cross. He makes a cross over the people, and in doing so, as an act of receiving that blessing upon them, the people then sign themselves with the cross of our redemption. My friends, what we celebrate today is a great feast. It's a feast in which Christ comes into this world to reverse everything that was wrong, even from the very beginning of the world with Adam and Eve. Christ comes into this world so as to bring God's love to all in this world, especially to those who feel furthest from it. Christ comes into this world and he takes an instrument of pain and torture and death, the cross, and he reverses it, and he turns it into an instrument of redemption and a symbol of our liberation from sin and death. Every time we make the sign of the cross, every time we see a cross or the crucifix, we must be reminded of that great self-sacrificing, loving act that Jesus made for all of us in this world, an act that brought about our salvation for all of eternity. And my friends, that truly is something that we must celebrate. And may the peace and the grace of Christ rest upon you always.